the importance of vulnerability, of helping children to realize that we all are having something slightly hanging out at all times. We're all going through recovery and discovery at the same time.
Family life is essential. Jim and I are on a mission to help you live the best one. You'll hear personal stories from thought leaders of strengths and struggles with proven strategies to help you make the most of your 18 summers. I'm your co-host, Jamie Shields.
Hey, 18 Summers Tribe. We're here today with our good friend, Mr. Tim Story. He is a friend, a coach, a mentor, a leader. Tim, you are many hats, but one great big heart. So good to see you.
Never been called that. I like it. Many things I do, but one big heart. I'll go with that.
Well, everyone's seen you from anything from Oprah to other large stages, and people turn to you for known as the comeback kid, fostering miracles. I know there's things in my life where through our friendship and coaching that's happened, which I'm sure we'll talk about today, but also our love of family. I think from the first day we met, I remember I was extremely honored because, oh, Tim Story speaking here today. I got up and spoke. I got off stage feeling vulnerable when you've had a deep talk. And you came up and you said, hey, you call me anytime you want. You gave me your number.
And then you regretted it.
Yeah, now I always call you.
It's like, but not at 2 a.m. Jim, when I saw you speak, I get to see speakers probably on a weekly basis, but this is an interesting perspective from all over the world. So I see him in Norway. I see him in Indonesia. I see him in France because of these conferences that I do. And let me say it this way. Your texture was so different. Your texture, your care, your concern, your storytelling, and really talking about how we can find a way to have a better family. And I really like that because I think that many times people get overwhelmed and they think, I have to cure my family. How am I going to cure? But you both really teach about how we can get better all the time.
We try.
That's a great perspective. Get better all the time. Those incremental deposits, once you get further and further down the line, even a 2-degree transition on a map, you're in a completely different part of the world. And it's incredible how making those small deposits, those small changes, like we do incrementally. But Tim, you, with your comeback, setback to comeback, you make some big radical changes. There's lots of assessing, which is part of what we do all the time in parenting as well. And in our relationship primarily is, okay, where are we currently at? Like, let's take an inventory. Okay, where would we like to be? What are some things we can add? And that's something that I think we've learned from you that was so integral. Will you give us those steps?
Yeah, 100%. I think that all of us that are here and you guys are viewing us is that hopefully there's been a time in your life where you had momentum, whether it be in the first grade, second grade, sixth grade, 18 years of age, 30 years of age. This momentum is this flow. And because we all like the water, you see, you have a boat in the back, you guys have a surfers in the back there, is that it's like riding a wave. You have this momentum, but something happens to all of us. None of us can skip this test where life interruptions come. Life interruption may be something in your childhood. Maybe your parents got divorced. Maybe there was an illness. Maybe something very drastic happened as a young person. And when most people have a life interruption, they don't know what to do. So that's a setback. To set means to fix it, to lock it, to solidify. So many people, we have set ourselves back. And when you feel that way, guys, as we all know, it's not a good feeling, right?
Nope.
So there's ways to get out of the setback. And number one is you have to become awake. To become awake can be waking up next to somebody and thinking, how did I end up next to this person? And then you go, oh yeah, I married them 8 years ago. So you become awake. Some people wake up in a situation of health problems or problems with their kids. So as you guys know, to be awake means to become conscious. You're awake. Secondly, you guys mentioned it, you have to take inventory. But thorough inventory how are the areas of my life? How's my mindset? The strength of my mind? How is the clarity of my mind? How's my spirit? How is my family doing? How is my relationship with significant others doing? How's my job? How's my finances? How's my social life? So number one, awake. Secondly, inventory. And then I'll use the third one for just right now. And that is, we have to partner with the right people. And you could be the right person with the right plan, but you definitely need the right people.
Yeah.
That's sure. Great. And I know a time in which, Tim, that you really guided us through was, we had a lot of transition going on. And as you said, things can manifest in any direction. And so for us, we were on a date night, and sometimes life happens and you don't realize everything that you're carrying or how thick it is or how much you've gone through until you look back. You're just in it sometimes. And we had a great date night. We went to a hot yoga class. We went for a burrito bowl afterwards and kombucha. And we were driving home. Jim was driving home and he said, "I can't feel my face."
Wow. My whole face just fell off.
And he put, you know, I'm like, "You got to pull over." And he pulls over and we get out of the car and we do the whole stroke test, hands over your head, stick your tongue out, all of that stuff. He's like, "My face fell off." He literally felt like his face fell off, and he had Bell's palsy.
Yeah.
And I reached out to you immediately because Jim was speaking a lot on stages at this point. Like you just said, you watched him speak. This is his gift. Like, he is definitely good on stage and with an audience, and he couldn't smile.
Yeah. And so much goes to your mind, because when I look at you two, you have so many amazing moving parts. So let's talk about the marriage, which to us and my team, we always brag about you guys' marriage, which does take work still, guys, does it?
Absolutely. Yes, a lot. Yeah.
Checking.
For me. And then,
exactly. And then the growth of the children. Children are just moving up in their ages and stages, but also the real estate side, and then this tremendous brand, 18 Summers, that we'll talk more about later. And so that obviously was a life interruption. But you know what's so strange is that many of these life interruptions happen in moments that we did not expect. Okay, so let me break down that night. Date night, right thing to do, right? Hot yoga, pretty good thing to do. Nice food, connection, and then all of a sudden this thing hits. So Jim, what were your initial thoughts? Was it fear? Was it I'm overwhelmed? Or what was going through your mind? What kind of emotions were going through your mind?
When it hit, first of all, and Jamie will tell you, I knew it was Bell's palsy right away. Another influencer that we know well, we had just been on a family retreat in Mexico a few months earlier, and he had told me about getting struck with Bell's palsy, and I looked it up. I looked about Sylvester Stallone, The Mountain, from that famous series. He got it, and I knew. I said, it's not a stroke, it's Bell's palsy. So I had a knowing of that. But then I also had a realization of two things that happened in my life, Tim, that I was working really hard to transition some business things. In just in a few months earlier, I've learned, Tim, if I'm really going to be a family man, then I have to go deep in my own work. So I actually discovered what I had just gone through, some processing and actually some memory recall, that I had gone through a bad run-in with a clergyman as a young boy. And that was a really hard thing for me to see. And I think as I was processing that, as we've talked about, trauma comes out in weird ways. I think it was actually one of your referrals. I didn't want to believe the trauma because it just seemed so unreal, untrue. Like I'm trying to make something up to get sympathy. And once I started to accept it, I think that releasing this literally just, it took half my face away. And I think that with wanting to provide for the family, it was just a lot of things hit at once.
In that case, are you telling the viewers that, do you think that part of it was stress related or mindset related or anything that you feel was related to the stroke that came on, or the, well, in this case, it was Bell's palsy? Do any of the factors you just mentioned, do you think it had anything to do with what happened to you?
Oh, I think it had to deal with both stress, spiritual, and definitely work intensity related.
Yeah. And I think that's what you guys teach as a collective and also individually, because I think you're both phenomenal on your own stages. And also I teach this as well, is that we have to really look at all the various areas of our life. Mm-hmm. And it's so easy to get caught up in the business side, because you guys have done very, very well in real estate and other businesses you do, than I do well in businesses that I do. But sometimes you can get so preoccupied and also overwhelmed that we don't take time to rest, take care of ourselves, sleep properly. So we'll go back to Jim, and then maybe Jamie can help us with this, is once you had the numbing of the face and you describe it in a way that other friends have described it, it's almost like it feels like your face fell off. Mm-hmm. What then did you do on the rest side or the diet side? What kind of changes did you make?
A couple of things. I started to rest more. Yeah. I looked at healthy alternatives, acupuncture, chiropractic, and then I looked to spiritual. And that's when I called you and we were talking about divine exchange. All right, I'm pretty private in my faith, but that was a huge one for me. So I think it's important to talk about just that divine exchange of ashes and that simple three-step prayer. Here's what I can tell you, Tim. Along with that and some alternative therapies, I was back on stage in Lake Tahoe in 5 weeks.
That's amazing.
There was some serious downtime in those 5 weeks, but I think it was very powerful. I remember we were driving back from South Florida, so I'm going to call Tim and let him know what's happening. It was pretty profound.
Well, thank you, because that shows again how close that we truly are with each other. And this idea of like God being with us at all times is a beautiful thing. So there's a scripture in the Bible that says in Hebrews chapter 12, he is the author and the finisher of our faith, which means what he started, he will always be there until completion. And so it's not just through the good times and when we get these amazing ideas and start to do projects, but even through these times of going through the valley, he was with you in the valley, as you're talking about.
Yeah. I don't want to butcher the prayer. Do you want to share with the people what you kind of told me to do that day? And
tell me what you remember of it, because there's a couple of places I took you. Give me a little bit of what you remember, and then I'll jump in on.
So I think, do you want to?
No, you go ahead.
This was what I held to, was just that divine exchange, taking the way in which energy or faith or good and evil operate is that, or in my opinion, there's this equal opposite flow and flux that comes in and out. And I think that you were moving forward through a lot of things in your life and you were breaking through that past trauma. And when it came to light, one of the things that even you said during a meditation, you said, sorry, we have an interrupter. We'll see you in a few minutes.
There's a walk to that.
Okay, thank you. We'll be done soon.
I want you to keep this in the podcast, because this is what
we do. When you've got five of them, Tim, the odds of that are...
Please leave that in. That was just beautiful. But go ahead, Jamie.
Yeah, so I think that when you were doing like a meditation and then you did some writing, and I think you had a big aha and you were like, I was so much in the flow and I was so much finding out and discovering and moving forward that the enemy literally came and stole my face. How you heard it, you were like, it was literally like, I will take your mouthpiece and destroy it because you're not allowed to know this truth or move past this truth. And it just felt so big and profound in the moment. And I think even the acknowledgement in the spiritual world to be able to say, I see you.
Yeah.
And I got you and I'm moving forward was super powerful. And just that idea of a divine exchange. So Jim was exchanging that hurt, that trauma, that pain, whatever he carried that he didn't even know he carried, for accelerated goodness and healing.
That's a great way of saying it. So for those that do not know, so my doctorate is in world religion and master's is in counseling therapy. So I often go to scripture. And one of the things that's powerful about biblical thinking is that, number one, you have a God idea. You should follow that God idea because somebody is waiting for you on the other side of your obedience to your God idea. So the fact that you guys came together as a couple and followed your God idea, which is partly 18 summers, mentoring, tutoring, training, all of us as families that we can get better not necessarily cured, but better. But one thing that people don't understand, when you have a God idea or a mission, there will always be an opposition to the mission. And it's almost like, what do you do when all hell breaks out? So all hell breaking out is not always from the outside. We'll always see it from the outside, like evil forces outside. Sometimes it's evil forces inside of humans, where the hell is breaking out on us from the outside, but also from the inside of human beings. And that's the thing that I always found interesting in working with you guys, is you have, again, so many moving parts. So you were dealing with children that are not your biological children. And so therefore, you had things going on with that. You have businesses, business deals. You have the obligations and all the things you're doing for 18 summers. So I think it was really a combination of outside forces that were negative with the opposition to the mission, but also things that were just coming against you from human beings. So at that point, you need to really pay attention and say, okay, I am under attack. So rather than just hold the fort, I have to press the battle. See, it's not always hold on. Sometimes it's press the battle.
Not interesting.
And now, Tim, we're learning these things in our 40s.
Yeah.
And I know that a like-minded core value we have is getting this type of education to a younger population. So yeah. We attend masterminds. We met each other at conferences and things in which we're elevating ourselves. How do we... And I know this answer already, I'm baiting you here. How do we elevate our younger generations? This concept of bringing what we know to younger people so that they are better equipped to handle and to know when to press forward and when to hold the fort.
Yeah. So there's actually three ways that most people learn, adults and also children: education, conversation, and observation. And if you guys go way back to your childhood, a lot of it was observation. You saw things. It could even be how somebody surfed. You saw their style and you said, wow, I could do that. I had a friend in school. I'll never forget his name, Tom Mugadichian. And you know he had to be Armenian. And in sixth grade, if he didn't know a word, he used to carry around a dictionary. And I've never said one thing to Tom about, hey, that's cool, you carry a dictionary. I just noticed that he was always reading a dictionary. So I decided to ask my mother, Mom, how do I go find a dictionary? I want to buy a dictionary. The smaller Webster's, not that big old giant one they had back in the day. But that was observation. And then the other is conversation. Dialoguing today, people are learning from the conversation. The third phase is the education. And I think that's what all three of us are doing. We want to see children have lives that are different, better, and more magical. And we do it through education, conversation, and observation.
And it's so powerful, Tim, to hear about observation and conversation, because there's something you said to me in one of our powwows that I'll never forget.
Yeah.
And that was, the more successful you get, the more important this is, because as you know, you've worked with some very A-profile families out there of the top A-listers of this industry or of this movie and TV or music industry. And I remember you saying to me when I was talking just about our family life and wanting to show up as a father, you said, here's what you got to be careful of. The biggest fear of a lot of these people out there is when I talk to the children, their major concern is, hey, please don't let mom or dad know.
Yes.
Like, they don't think they'll live up to their success. They don't think that it can be shared. So it's not being observed or talked about. And I think that's where real self-isolation happens. And that has pierced me, Tim, where I'm like, I don't want my kids, if you ever stepped in with my older boys and they said, hey, Tim, we'll talk to you, but don't let dad know. He's working too hard, or we don't want to disappoint him. Like, that's been a healthy haunting for me and something that I definitely try to reverse.
Well said, a healthy haunting, because this is the main thing that I hear. Just happened 2 weeks ago. A man who does very well in Beverly Hills in the entertainment business. I'm working with one of his children, and they said, don't let dad know. It will overwhelm him. He has enough pressure already. So not good, because let's say a young person is struggling with abusing marijuana or drinking too much or feeling overwhelmed, feeling anxiety, feeling depression. Again, many times, don't let mom or dad know they have too much on their plate. But Jamie, why do you think that's in the mind of so many young people that they do not want to know, let the mother or the father know?
I think it's twofold. I think one could be, as Jim said, these highly successful people, the children look at them and think, I could never be a multi-million dollar recording artist like my parent. There's nothing I could do in my life. Therefore, there's no way to relate. My parents are top of their game. They're idolized by everybody else, but they're just my parents. There's like this disconnect of who the exterior sees and who's there. And maybe the child has a disconnect of who are they plugging into. And then another thing is that being so busy that you just don't seem available. Well, like you said, though they've got enough on their plate. One thing that matters a lot to Gemini is like, we're never too busy. And I say that a lot to our children, like, we've got a lot going on and I'm never too busy if it matters to you. Whatever it is, like, we can do this together. And that's a big communication that we have in our household. And then I know I said two things and now I'm at like four, but the other thing would be emotional intelligence. And I think it's super important to teach young people emotional intelligence and to do that by modeling, because if they don't see us struggle, then they don't know that struggle is normal.
And I love that, because as you know, when you look at the 50s and the 60s, the scenario that was created by even TV shows that were on even in the 60s with the Partridge Family and the Brady Bunch, of having this blended family, but the parents that were very, very, very together, you didn't really see the struggle of the parents. Isn't that correct?
Correct. Yep, never.
And yeah, and so I like the way you guys teach about the importance of vulnerability, of helping children to realize that we all are having something slightly hanging out at all times. The way I say it is, we're all going through recovery and discovery at the same time.
Yeah. And I do think it's important. We try to recover and discover in the light, if that makes sense. So like whatever we've got going on, we talk to our kids about, like, this was not ideal and here's what happened. Or, oh, I remember when I did X, Y, and Z, it reminds me of what you're experiencing right now. And so often we even deprecate on the things in which we chose to do because we now know better, because we've got a greater understanding of things through what we've learned. And we're hoping that sharing the lessons that we've learned, just like the way in which you're sharing lessons that you've learned, we can not eliminate challenges for our children, but better equip them for them.
Yeah. I have a question for you. Brené Brown recently did a video that she let out that I have a feeling you guys have been teaching for a while, if not the exact thing, something similar. She says that when her and her husband wake up and get going on their day a little bit, she'll say to him, in the percentages to reach the 100, you've heard about this, is that, what do you have in you today? And so if he says 30%, that she says, oh, wow, that means I have to be in there to combine to hit the 100%. And she said, sometimes I don't have that. So important, right? For couples to really talk about what they have that day. Do you guys do that in any form or fashion? Talking about like the energy level, the mindset, the feelings that you have?
We have an awareness of it.
Not a numeric, Tim, but our private morning is just Jamie rolling into me and real quiet prayers together and just checking in with each other. And I think that gives an awareness. And I think we have an overall marker. I remember a friend told us years ago, 90-10, that sometimes marriage is not 50-50. Some days you're going to be 90 and they're only going to be able to have 10.
Similar idea.
You're only going to have 10 and they're going to have 90. So I think we don't give a number, but we check in and say, hey, where are you at? How are you feeling? Yeah. And that one question has brought up some, not an exact numerical value, but definitely a map.
Tell me a little bit about expectations. Like, for many students, summer is over. And even though it's only August, I feel like when I was a kid, we started in September, but it's still hot. It's August and these kids are like back in school. When a lot of people started summer, they had expectations, okay? So maybe expectations of spending time with the kids or how they're going to do it or how vacation would pan out or a couple of vacations. When I talk to a lot of parents, they're a little disappointed that the summer did not meet expectations. So let me tell you what some have told me recently, just at like lunches and dinners. They'll talk about how I thought my kids wanted to spend more time with me, but they were 15, 16, 17. They were constantly with their friends. I saw our vacation going a certain way, but my two oldest ones that were only about the same age didn't want to go unless their friends came with them. So, Jamie, what do you think about these expectations? Should we have them as parents? And what do we do if they're not met?
That's a great question. We experienced that this summer, actually. So our two oldest, who are almost 18 and almost 20, it's the first time they didn't spend the whole summer in Costa Rica with us. And when they communicated, and I think that's part of the two-way communication, we had an open door. They knew they could say, I'm not feeling it. And yeah. So when I said, here are the dates we're going to Costa Rica, and they both were like, nah. Like it was just like, I'm not feeling it that long. And I was like, okay, we can try that on. And so we talk a lot in our house about boundaries and expectations, whether it be for mine and Jim's work day, communicating with the children each morning. I have 3 podcasts today. I'm going to start at this time. I'm going to finish at this time. This is what we're going to do after, trying to set the day up. But the same goes for family vacations. The same goes for date night and so many things, those boundaries and expectations. And when the boys said, nah, yeah. I remember I was like, oh, what am I going to do? I want to be in Costa Rica 5 weeks this summer. I have 2 people I love very much. This is a separation of what I want and what they want. How can we both be respected and fulfilled? And like you said, it became a beautiful combo. We went for a week. They came for an extended week and they brought friends. And so it ended up turning into, it was like this beautiful compromise and we had a blast. And then there was additional buy-in because their friends are definitely going to want to come back. And so we just continued that feeling. And so instead of me taking a week's worth of fun and spending it over 5 weeks, we just really poured in. We both took off work that week and we poured in every minute to just the fun of that moment. Because it doesn't always look like we want it to look.
I like that. And Jim, I think you would agree with her in this case that slightly not to where we thought it was going to be, our expectations, it's still good, right?
Yeah, it was great. I think I have a practicality in me that's where I'm like, that's good. They're almost 18, they're almost 20. I think it'd be bad if they were like, we want to spend all 5 weeks with you. I'd be like, where are your friends? How's going with your girlfriend? And, yeah, and they're both entrepreneurs with their own businesses. And there was some responsibility. So when I looked under the surface, it wasn't even that they didn't want to spend time with us. They're both like, hey, we both have these new businesses that we started and we do have girlfriends in our own lives, but we really want to come down. And I think showing that, it was like, okay, why don't we do that? And then, hey, we're going to go to the Florida Keys for a week in the summer. And they ended up doing things. So I saw it as a good thing. And I would joke with Jamie again, that thing of, gosh, I'm glad my 18-year-old doesn't want to hang out with me as much as my 8-year-old, because that means we've done something right.
Yeah, it's funny because we are teaching independence.
Yeah.
Like, what? Are you being independent? I want to bring up something, if you don't mind. So excited that Jamie's going to be part of this amazing event. So I'm looking down at the graphic. It's called Elevate Experience. It's a youth education conference, but it's very, very big. We put out a lot of money into this. So it's sponsored by the Fifth Degree Academy and a group called Gravy Stack, where they have a big, big following of, I think, right about 6 million people on Instagram alone. It's a 2-day event. And amongst the people that Jamie will be part of is people like Jim Quick, Eric Thomas will be involved, David Meltzer, and I will be involved, Gloria Mayfield Banks. So many people. But Jamie, we're so excited to have you as a part. And one reason I wanted you to be a part is because I think that you understand young people from an educational perspective, but you're very hands-on. You're very hands-on with your children. Tell me why you're excited about this experience that is about to take place, and I'll give the dates in a minute.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm super excited, one, because anything you're a part of, I want to be a part of. I love the synergy between us, and I love the educational opportunities that you bring to the world to just make it a little better, brighter, hopeful. And that's just my mission as well. And I think that being able to mentor young people is a great passion of mine. And as we've been talking about so much on here, preparing the path, the things in which we've walked don't have to be quite as hard for the ones that come after us. We've learned some things. We can instill values. We can teach some principles, some coping skills, just elevate this younger generation to be better prepared leaders.
Yes.
And thinkers. And that's super exciting.
So one of the things that I want to ask you that a lot of mothers ask me, but I think you're better equipped to handle this than I am, that if one of their children are having difficulties, that they many times find that they are putting so much attention on that one child with the difficulties, and then many times they're not paying attention as they should to the other children, okay? And so how do you help the young person in the group that's having a child? Let's say it's a daughter who's 12, but let's say you have two other children that are thriving, that are playing soccer, they're playing volleyball, they're out there doing well, but the 12-year-old is struggling. How, as a mother, do you distribute your energy when you have that kind of situation?
That's a great question. So the framework that we developed through the family board meeting with one-on-one time, really focusing on the one-to-one relationship, because we have five children. And so it seems as though they each take turns being the high needs child in the house is really how it feels. And when somebody has something going on, whether one of them had a car accident, another one had something else, they receive so much of the attention. I have to be super aware that there are still four other children and a husband and myself that all really need my attention. And I think it's important to establish relationships ahead of time before we have this. So always keeping in mind the one-to-one principle, spending one-on-one time with each member of your family. For Jim and I, it's date night. With the children, it's these board meetings where we spend half a day, once a quarter, one-on-one, really going deep and having fun. And so we're better equipped, better set up to weather some of these storms when somebody requires a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. And also if everyone in the family can lean on these moments together. Jim and I have this date night. So if something gets wonky between us, or he's traveling, or work needs a lot of his attention, because sometimes work is like a child too, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
So I can lean on knowing every Wednesday evening, I can plug back into this man and we can reconnect. And I know that that's there for me.
That is so powerful.
The same way that each one of my children can rest in knowing that they can always plug back in when we have that focused one-on-one time together. And in hopes that we can all see as a family that nobody ever requires all the attention all the time.
Yes.
Some of that comes in with teaching that empathy and that self-awareness of pulling together as a team, really.
So this event's coming up soon. So that's August the 18th and the 19th. Okay. And I'm sure you guys will put all the information on the website, et cetera. But also what we're attempting to do, which it looks like we're going to do it, is we're going to set a Guinness Book of Record by having the most young people on in this form and fashion to educate them. So we're super, super excited about that.
That's really neat. I'm so excited. Why are you so excited about it? What's your favorite part of this Elevation?
I'm excited about it because when I travel around the world and do what I do in the humanitarian space, I think about when I go to places like Soweto, South Africa. I remember one conference I did, it was 13,000 people. And I said to them, I do not want to speak just to the conference. I want to go to the orphanages. Wow. And such a great story, you guys, that one time I was in Chicago, I was out in a park, and they were highlighting some Broadway plays and one of my friends is in that space, and they were showing parts of his play. It was a beautiful thing that they were doing. And two men from South Africa approached me, one of them being 28 years of age. And he said, "Oh my goodness, you are Tim Story." I said, "Yes." And he said, "You used to come to my township. The first time you came is when I was 8. The second time you came is when I was 12. And he said, "You changed my life." So imagine I went to what would be the inner city of Johannesburg, into these places where they have shack houses. And I spoke on having the right mindset and dreaming big dreams, for him to come around later and say, "You changed my life." That's why I'm excited about education.
Absolutely. That's beautiful.
That's a great story.
I love that.
Tim, where can people learn more about you? I mean, we know all about you, but we want to make sure our community is always learning more about you, because you've been such a pillar for us.
I think for me, I think it's all about like a skill set. And I was able to start as an amateur in a skill set, and that is turning people's setbacks to comebacks. And then I got better at it. And then I became truly a master at it. And it's amazing that through that skill set of turning setbacks to comebacks, that I wrote a book in 1990 called It's Time for Your Comeback. Then many years later, Comeback and Beyond. And then to famously help many, many celebrities. And for me to be known as the comeback coach to the stars, and then Mr. Comeback, the master of the comeback, and as Oprah calls me, the world's comeback coach. You got to go with that, right?
Yeah. I like it. It's suiting too.
It started at an elementary level. And I want to just say to everybody watching, the Bible says, despise not small beginnings. Because when I was in college and I was studying on things like toxic relationships and challenges that we go through and things that trigger us, little did I know that it would lead to this worldwide platform that I have. I'm in 79 airports of the world. The only person that has a talk show like that in the airports. I mean, in millions, I didn't say thousands, millions of hotel rooms across the world. And I just signed for my own TV show, should come out in 2024 at the same level of like a Dr. Phil. So that's all exciting, but it all started somewhere, right?
I love it. I love it. Parting words, Tim, of someone's out there in our community, they're struggling with a child, a marriage, a business that four more setbacks than they thought they could handle, regain their footing.
Great question. I think that one of the things that we need is we need a promise. And that's where faith is so important. And I really like to rely on scripture. But for some that don't go that way, you could really look to a Maya Angelou poem or another poem or a saying or quote maybe your grandmother gave you or your grandfather. But you have to hold on to something, because a promise brings hope and expectation. Mm-hmm. And when you are feeling under something, you need a promise of better things to come. So hold on to the promise, and that will bring hope and expectation into your soul.
Love that.
So when's our elevation experience? It's this Saturday.
Yes. So it's going to be Friday and Saturday. And what day are you on? They've told you, I think, already.
So I'm going to be in Ireland. Won't so my days are mixed up. I think I'm on Friday. No, 6 hours ahead. Saturday. I'm on Saturday. Yeah. Saturday. There. It's in my calendar.
Family adventure from Ireland. And we said, yes, Let's make sure we're in a spot.
But I love it. And that's how loyal you are to helping people. Okay. So thank you for being on. I also want to talk to a lot of my followers about 18 Summers. A lot of things that they do. They speak collectively, both of them together. But they both are also speaking on various platforms. They're fantastic. If you're looking for a great speaker for your conference, they are fantastic. And then also the 18 Summers programs, they have a great curriculum. Best way to find 18 Summers would be, Jim, what is the website?
18summers.com.
Nice and easy.
Our next live retreat for families is in Costa Rica. So if anyone
likes to go there.
this November. We're bringing back our retreat that we did for years, put it on hiatus for 5 years to focus on our own family and businesses. But we're bringing it back to one of our favorite places in the world in Costa Rica this November, so they can read about that.
So everybody that's watching, tap into what they're doing. And even if your children are older now, some of you have grandchildren, or you're an aunt, or you're an uncle, tap into all things that they're doing, because they are literally helping to change young people and also families.
Thanks, Tim. But we always appreciate
you. We're on a shared mission, aren't we, my friend?
Yeah, we're on a path. And it's beautiful when you find partners who have similar core values, right? And similar motives. And the motive is literally to give people a life lift.
Oh, life lift. I absolutely love it. Thank you so much
for
your time, your energy.
Yeah, we'll be seeing you within the week. And we always love our conversations and lessons. And these could go on for hours, because since we have one after another example. But
thank you for pouring into us and others. Yeah.
What a privilege. All right. Love you guys.
Love you, Tim. Thanks, bud.
Thanks for joining the 18 Summers podcast and putting your family in priority position. Subscribe and leave a review and help other families just like you.